hiking or riding a motorcycle in that event, and we took, and those that are doing the event, and it's a great outreach and opportunity for us to support them. We also just want to call attention to singers this morning. Senior choir will begin practice on Thursday, that's this week, September 7th at 7 p.m. right here in the sanctuary. Also tonight is our Christian Poetry Fellowship at 6 p.m. at the cafe. And then looking ahead to next week, we'll just be having one service at 10:30. So we look forward to everyone next week being here, but we are so excited that you are here this morning. Is there any other announcements you'd like to highlight? It's a joy to be in the house of the Lord. Let's rise and greet one another, and then we'll begin worship with number 99, We Praise Thee, O God. So please rise, greet one another, welcome them to the fellowship, followed by prayer, and then our opening hymn. That's exactly what the Lord's doing every single day of our lives, reviving us, and we are so thankful for his work among us. We do want to just highlight John Kruger passed away this week. Services are on Wednesday, 11 a.m. The viewing will be at 10 a.m. So John Kruger, keep his family in prayer and those prayer concerns listed in our bulletin and any others that you'd like to lift up this morning. We'd encourage you to raise your hand. We have a microphone that'll come around for you to share. We did have some anniversaries in our first service. Ray and Sandy Keeney, 55 years married together, and John and Jamie Wise together, 29 years today. So we celebrate marriages and just thank God for what he does among them. Yes. Amen. Yes. Yes. Would you pray with me? Father, we just come before you. You know our hearts. You know the way it aches. You know the joys that we experience. But Father, this morning, we just want to thank you for your presence through all emotions that we experience. We can't help this morning but to think about the thousands of people that have been affected by Hurricane Harvey, and the death toll continues to rise. But we rejoice knowing that you are a God of comfort. You're a God that calls us to help in these times, and we just praise you, Father, for calling Jean to go in disaster ministry, and we just pray your protection over her. We pray for the health exam she would be able to pass that, and we know that you will use her in mighty ways. We celebrate her birthday and many others among us this day, We ask that you would continue to nurture our souls and to enrich our lives. And we do pray that you would revive us again. We know, Father, the many incredible things you are doing through each of us. But we pray that would be ongoing, a daily activity. We know many that have gone off to college and it's a new thing for them and they're still learning their way. And we just lift up those college students, those that have been going for years, that you would just meet them where they are and comfort their souls and give them the energy and the thrive to get through each day as they make new friends, as they encounter different situations. As we know, Father, we do as well in our lives at work or at school. And just pray, Father, your protection over each one. We know, Father, that we can celebrate, we can rejoice in our salvation no matter what comes our way. We know that that is certain as we trust and as we believe upon your great name. We thank you, Father, for those that have gone on before us, the legacies that they have left for us to carry on. We think of Carl, we think of John, we think of many others that come to our minds right now. And Father, we know that though they're gone, their legacy is very alive. So we just thank you, Father, for those before us. We thank you for the lives that are here today. Father, you know what they are facing. You know the uncertainties they have. Father, you know the guidance, the direction they're longing for. Father, you know the sin that they find themselves in, and you're calling us out of that this morning and asking us to turn from it. But Father, we know that repentance is at hand, and we can turn to you and ask for forgiveness. So we do so now in these next few moments of silent prayer and also lift up those prayers upon our hearts. Hear our prayers. Father, we thank you for the forgiveness that's offered to us through the cross. We thank you for the sacrificial love that your Son, Jesus Christ, poured out upon us. And we know, Father, that there are days that we face that we wonder, where could that love possibly be? But we know that it never fails us. And we trust in it, Lord. We trust in your love that it would flow from us. That others that are dealing with difficult situations, those that may not even know you, would see you through us, through our compassion, through our love, through our patience, our gentleness, our kindness. And we just pray, Father, that it would be so evident that others would begin asking. But we know, Father, there may be ones among us that are still wondering, what is this whole God thing all about? And we pray, Father, you would open their hearts, that they would receive you. And we just trust you, Father, these days. We know that darkness comes each and every day, and we face it ourselves, but we know the light shines through your Son, and how we thank you for our eternity that awaits us. But we do pray, Father, as we go through our daily activities, that you would be made known. We thank you again, Father, for meeting us here in this place, for the love that we share as a church family. Help us to be able to radiate that same love into this community and this world. We indeed praise thee, O God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Sometimes we often wonder, where is our money at work in this congregation? And I invite you to turn your eyes towards the ceiling, and you'll notice that we have a new projector before us. The two gentlemen in the back deserve a round of applause. They don't want it, but we're going to give it to them because they were diligently at work for many, many hours getting this system working. And you'll notice the screen, how clear it is, and they have the sound ready to go when we're ready to put in new sound. So praise the Lord for what he does through our monetary offerings here at Little Swatara. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for each cheerful giver represented here this morning. We know projects, we know ministries wouldn't be supported without the generous offerings of these people. And we pray, Father, that your blessings would flow through us as we continue to bless others. We thank you, Father, for the laborers among us. We thank you for the many behind the scenes on the front lines that work and do so much for this congregation. And we just ask you, Father, to be glorified as we give this morning cheerfully. Thank you, Lord, for who you are in our lives and what you do through us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
What was one of the very first things you decided when you woke up this morning? Your mom? You wanted to sleep in? Talk to Trevor. What's the first thing you decided when you woke up? You're gonna sleep in. How about you? You're gonna watch TV. Did anyone decide they're going to choose what outfit to wear? No? You just threw some clothes on and left? Yes? Are clothes important to you? Yes? No? Well, most of us want to wear clothes that are in style and that are popular. To some people, that might be name brands. Some people, they want them in good condition, like no holes, no snags, no buttons missing. And the clothing that we wear says something about us. Hey girls, do you wear did you used to wear clothing that said princess or too cute? Yeah? Hey boys, did you ever wear one of those shirts? That's like too cute. No? You wouldn't be caught wearing one of those. What kind of shirts did you guys wear? Soccer shirts? A boy kicking the soccer ball. An Eagles jersey. There you go. Football jerseys. How about some Spider-Man t-shirts? Did boys get caught wearing those? No? Well. And sometimes those outfits, they're not right without a hat. You got to add a hat to that outfit. Otherwise, it's not complete. As you choose what you're going to wear each morning, do you ever think what the Bible has to say about it? No, I don't think that's ever crossed my mind either. Well, the Bible doesn't tell us what shirt to wear or what pants to wear or clothing-wise. They tell us something else. Can anyone think of what they might tell us? What should we clothe ourselves with? I'm making your brains think this morning. Should we clothe ourselves with kindness? Yes. How about gentleness and patience? Anything that has to do with the Bible. There you go. What's the final thing that would top our attitudes?
Caring.
How about forgiving? Top all of your attitudes with forgiveness. And do you think that brings in perfect unity? Nobody's perfect. There you go. The Bible says that this outfit the Bible describes fits everybody. So it doesn't matter if you're a boy or a girl, you can wear this outfit. Do you know what else is great about this outfit? It never goes out of style. So the next time you're trying to decide what you're going to wear in the morning, why not you put a little bit of kindness, gentleness, and patience? And what else do we have to top our clothing with? Caring, yes. How about a little bit of forgiveness? Sound good? Yes? All right, let's pray. Dear God, we are always careful in choosing what clothes to wear. Help us to be just as careful about choosing our attitudes. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You guys go back to your seats.
Thank you.
Father God, we come before you and we open your word and we know that your word has something to say to each of us. Father, you know what we've experienced this morning. You know what we've gone through this past week. And you know what lies ahead. And we trust you, Father. We obey you in our daily living. But Father, this morning we're just opening our hearts, we're opening our minds to receive exactly what you would have for each of us. And we pray that it would be so. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's what we know so far from our studies in Genesis. God is the creator. God is the sustainer of life. What he made was good. Indeed, it was very good. We know we were made in his image, and his intent was for us to care for his creation. We also know that we were made with dignity and purpose. Maybe this morning you need to hear that. You are dignified. You have a purpose. However, we quickly learn the intent was blurred by man's fall. A mere temptation. Surely you will not die, the serpent says. And the result, a choice that affects us all. Our penalty for sin being death. No one can escape it. We can't hide it. We can't run. It will find each one. But here's what's important. Here is the main headline this morning. Without this knowledge of what we were meant to be and how we fell from it, we can't begin to understand the overall story of the Bible. We can't begin to understand the gospel message and the point of Jesus' work on the cross. So let's see how this plays out in the first story following Adam and Eve. There's guaranteed to be romance. There will be suspense. And there will be action. So friends, grab your pews. It's about to get exciting. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. And we'll begin in verses 1 through 5. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry. And his face was downcast. Now, friends, I told you there was romance and there is suspense. So we have two sons. They each present an offering to the Lord in keeping with their occupations. Cain's a farmer and he presents fruit from his crops. Abel is a shepherd and he presents a firstborn from his flock. Abel's offering is accepted by God. Cain's, however, is not. The point here is rather simple. One brother, Abel, did what was pleasing to the Lord. The other brother, Cain, did not. The moral couldn't be any more obvious. And the next two verses make it rather clear. So we know at this point Cain was very angry. We know his face was downcast. And then we pick up in verses 6 and 7. Then the Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. I want us to note that God warns Cain to be careful of letting sin get the best of him. So here comes the action, folks, on to the crime. Verses 8 and 9. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" Can we even believe it? The first sibling relationship, and Cain murders his own brother. Premeditated at that. And then, when it possibly can't get any worse, he boldly lies to the Lord. And furthermore, he even denies any responsibility whatsoever for his brother. Now, hold up. How many older siblings do we have in the room today? Put your hand in the air. How many of these older siblings were ever asked to care for their younger siblings? It's normal. It's natural. It's what's supposed to happen. And at times, there's even rewards. But Cain, he didn't like that memo. So the plot thickens. God has no other choice but to judge. We pick up in verses 10 and 11. The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand." Friends, there's one thing for certain. God cannot be deceived. No matter how hidden his crime may seem, it is not and cannot be hidden from God. His father Adam's judgment appears similar, but it's rather distinct. You see, Adam's sin led to the ground being cursed. What easily would have brought forth its fruit will now only do so with labor and toil, but yet it still produces. But Cain himself is cursed with a curse rising from the ground, the blood of Abel, so that Cain's toil will produce nothing. Nada, zilch, not a thing. And the result? He will wander afar. But it's too much. He can't handle it. The heat got turned up just a bit too much for good old Cain. But we reap what we sow, don't we? And we'll read about it in verses 13 and 14. Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." You know, looking back, it's not so bad when mom or dad said, "Go to your room," or "Pick your switch," or "You lost your phone," or "You'll be staying home tonight." You know, we can handle parents saying no TV, no friends over, or "You can forget about fishing this weekend." You know, it still hurt, but can you fathom? Can you even begin to imagine wandering so far that you are hidden from the presence of God? And on top of that, you are fearing for your life. Friends, we don't have to look very far to find the problem. Look back at verse 6 and 7. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. So I want us to consider the question the Lord asks Cain. Why is he angry? What exactly is happening here? We know that his offering was rejected while his brother's was accepted. But keep in mind, Cain is one of us. He's a fellow human being. It's not rocket science to understand how he's feeling. We've all tried it with our own parents, trying to outdo our brother or our sister to gain favor in their eyes, hoping perhaps we'll have that extra slice of pie at dinner. But indeed, many have been puzzled over God's rejection. Could God be playing favorites? And we know, friends, that that is nonsense. We know that God loves us all the same, or his only son, Jesus Christ, would have simply stayed in heaven. God does what we all should do. He explains to Cain that if he had done right, he and his offering would have been accepted. We don't have all the details to know exactly the issue with Cain's offering, but he himself doesn't seem to ponder the problem of his offering, which is the problem in and of itself. So isn't the logical step for Cain to ask God where he went wrong? Should he have offered a lamb like Abel? Was there a heart issue he needed to deal with? Instead, Cain gets angry with Abel. Now, what's that all about? Was Abel being that annoying little brother bragging about his offering? Of course not. You see, the source of Cain's trouble lies not with Abel nor with God. Friends, listen closely. It lies crouching at his door. It lies crouching at our door. Cain's trouble, our trouble, is the entry of sin. What Adam and Eve did is already taking root in Cain. We could say this is why he fails to present an acceptable offering in the first place. Then we see it in his response to God's rejection, and we see it in the world today. He and we are personally offended. As with Cain, if we don't get a hold of ourselves and we allow bitterness to take root, it will grow and sin will take control. There's this chilling scene in William Golding's Lord of the Flies. The boys who are stranded on an island believe there's a beast in the jungle. The nail-biting scene has one boy, Simon, standing before the head of a slain wild pig. And he hallucinates that the head is speaking to him. And it says this: "There's no one to help you, only me, and I am the beast." It's interesting to think the beast was something that could be hunted and killed. It could be destroyed. Friends, the beast, the sin in our lives, is part of our fallen nature, and God is warning us in our story not to let it take over, but instead to master it. Cain had the choice to repent. He could have looked to God to control the beast within. But instead, he, like we, yield to it. We go on to hate. We go on our own way. We reject even the counsel of our Maker. Friends, can we see the point here? We might say, well, you know, I never murdered anyone. But friends, it's not the act of sin we commit that identifies our condition. It's the sin that continues to darken our heart. Cain murdered out of the hate in his heart. Out of the darkness comes the act of sin. Jesus spoke clearly on it in Matthew 15, 19 to 20. And he said this, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are all what defile a person." The problem for Cain was not that he was being mistreated. The problem was his ignorance of the offering needed. Remember the other brother, Abel? We could call him the good guy. God accepted his offering. And the New Testament says this of Abel in Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. Did you hear that? Abel was commended as righteous. And what did Abel do? It said he offered to God an acceptable sacrifice. So what made it acceptable? We could go round and round, and theologians love to do this, between the substance of the offerings. Cain offered the fruit of the soil. Nothing wrong with that per se. But Abel's offering indicates that the offering required was a sin offering. The offering of an animal as a substitute to make atonement for sin. That's enticing to consider, but Moses gives the reason why each man gave their particular offering. Do you remember? Cain was a farmer. Abel was a shepherd. Here's where it seems evident the distinction is made based on one having faith and the other not. Now it may be going around in your mind right now, well, faith in what? And the answer is this: faith that righteousness comes from God and not from oneself. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Now, of course, Cain believed that God existed. But he also believed that God rewards those who prove themselves worthy. He believed that an offering of what he produced should satisfy his creator. You can hear him now. I, Cain, have labored hours and hours for what I bring to you. God, see what I have done. Of course, then, it only makes sense that he's angered when his offering is rejected. And all the more angered when his younger brother, who's no better than himself, certainly who has not worked harder, and he might have said this: that smug little brother gets the praise for what I should have received. Are you kidding me? So you see, faith is not of ourselves. It comes from God. God gives us the faith to carry through this life. So the takeaway this morning is this: beware of sin. It is crouching at the door. Know that its desire is for us and that we must rule over it. You see, the heart will lead us on. Friends, our only hope is that which God gives us, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray that our lives would be a reflection of a faith that goes deep within, a trust in you, our Lord, that you will guard our hearts, and that sin that is crouching at our door, that we will master it. It has no place in our lives. So we go forth and we realize That it is the power that you offer us through your Son, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that we can rule over it. So help us this day, Father, to beware of sin, to know that its desire is for us. But Father, we pray in the powerful name of Jesus that you would help us to rule and to be masters over it. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. You know, when we think about that for a moment, if we knew soon and very soon we were going to see the King, what change would we make in our lives this very moment? I pray that we would indeed master sin, that we would know our heart's condition, and we would allow peace, we would allow gentleness, we would allow self-control to go forth. Let our love be evident. Let our lights shine. May this community, may this world know that we are Christians. Let it be so in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.